true. So, so dark and lonely since I broke it up with you. I live on a lonelier than you. Girl, don't say I do. And the so, so sad and blue. It's so
morning. It's 9:01. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. And that was Van Morrison from his brand new album, Roll with the Punches, and Stormy Monday and Lonely Avenue. And yes, it is supposed to be a stormy Monday, but the rain is supposed to hold off until this afternoon, so try and get all your errands done this morning. Alrighty then, before that we heard Eliza Carthy and the Wayward Band doing Mrs. Dyer, the baby farmer. And if you were paying attention, you might have noticed that it's a little bit gruesome. And Eliza said she learned this from her dad, Martin Carthy. Mrs. Amelia Dyer is considered to be one of the world's most prolific female serial killers, though she was hanged for killing just one child, Doris Marmon, to whose mother Mrs. Dyer had promised that she would raise her as her own in a homely and loving household, but whom Dyer murdered upon bringing her home, as she did some estimated 400 other children. The practice of baby farming, or taking the children of unmarried mothers who could not care for them in exchange for a fee, continued after Amelia was executed in 1896, and it's thought that her daughter Polly carried on her mother's method of simply taking the money and disposing of the babies, though she was never convicted. And you may have noticed that the Tuam Baby Farm in Ireland is once again in the news, and as people have mentioned, what is it about the Irish that they try and ignore bad news and castigate people? The woman who spent a good deal of her life exposing the practices that were going on at a Catholic, quote, charity organization, the Tuam Baby Farm. It's now estimated that they probably killed upwards of 700 children. They obviously kept those who they thought they could adopt for a big fee, but mothers were separated from their babies, all unwed, and made to work like slaves. So yes, not very grand. So you can just Google Tuam, T-U-A-M, and Baby Farm, and you'll find just tons of information, more than you ever wanted to know. It was closed down, I think, originally in the mid-70s, and the reason why some of this came to light was kids playing in fields that had belonged to that would turn up skulls and bones. Before that, we heard Martin Simpson doing Rain or Dine from his Trails and Tribulations. When I first heard about this CD, I thought it was Trials and Tribulations, but no, it's Trails and Tribulations. And it's a two-CD set, and probably because one of the first songs that's done we can't play on the radio is for being a little too explicit. So what do we do about explicit songs? Well, we can always hear them in Gaelic. Yeah, that's what we can do. The piece that started off our set is Ben Fishin, or the Fishin's wife, and it is a song that Andy Irvine learned from the singing of the great Sean McDonough, who was very generous towards me when we met. It was collected in the Carana district of Connemara and features place names of the area in nearby islands. It's a comic song, but with a savage edge to it, which suggests it could be several centuries old. And then it's followed by a couple of slip jigs, Ride a Mile and Hardiman the Fiddler. And this is from O'Neill's 1001 Tunes, 453 and 412. So what is O'Neill's? O'Neill was a policeman in Chicago who collected a number of tunes and transcribed them. And so with the transcription, we actually know how to play them now. And it's a great fun in sessions figuring which ones can segue into one another. Well, it is time now to segue into our Between the Worlds, the Best of Earth Religions Radio. And yes, we're going to have another song about rain. Thank you. Good morning. It's 9:23. That was Robert Plant with New World, and we're going to hear a couple more songs from his new album called Carry Fire, which is out on Nonesuch. Prior to that, we heard Lancome with What Will We Do When We Have No Money, Between the Earth and Sky. And we started off with Leverett with Rain on the Woodpile and a Terminus. And yes, it is rather gray, and we're not supposed to have much sun, and we are supposed to have rain this afternoon. So, as we mentioned, keep warm. Now, for those people who are observant, you may have noticed that Halloween passed on last Tuesday. And these were the hinges of the year in ancient times. And they were also when rents tended to be collected and were due. So it was a definitely a marginal time. What will we do when we have no money? We may be turned out of our place. We may have to go for a hiring fair. This is a bad time of the year. The days grow shorter, the nights grow longer, and it gets colder. And what about this November coming up? Well, November is remembered as the month of blood and bonfires. It was the ninth month of the Roman calendar. In Welsh, it was known as Tachwedd, the month of slaughtering, or Imestu, the black month. In Gaelic, it was Antisawin, the month of the Samhain festival. And there is much discussion about this. Was Samhain a single day? Was it observed for the whole month? And for those of you who delight in puzzles, you can read all about the Coligny calendar, and many people have come up with various ideas to make it work and be a perpetual calendar. And what about that glorious Anglo-Saxon? Well, there it was known as Blotmuth, the month of blood. And the reason why is that this was considered the time of slaughtering, when cattle, sheep, animals that could not be preserved or that really needed to be culled from the herd because you hadn't stored enough hay for the winter were slaughtered and salted. And this is kind of what you lived on. And yesterday, November the 5th, was Guy Fawkes Night, or the Gunpowder Treason Plot, when, as one wag commented, every party in Parliament was represented. So please to remember the 5th of November, the Gunpowder Treason and Plot. I see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. 'Twas God's mercy to be sent to save our king and parliament. 60 barrels laid below for old England's overthrow. With a lighted candle, with a lighted match, boom, boom, to let him in. And that's a Herefordshire rhyme. And of course, this is also commemorated in the Book of Common Prayer, the form of prayer with thanksgiving to be used upon the fifth day of November. We yield thee our unfeigned thanks and praise for the wonderful and mighty deliverance of our late gracious sovereign King James I, with the nobility, clergy, and commons of this realm, then assembled in Parliament, by popish treachery appointed as sheep in the slaughter in a most barbarous and savage manner. And this is probably about the time when we should mention that once again we had a terrible shooting, this time in Texas, by a gentleman who had been dishonorably discharged from the armed services, and this was after he had threatened his wife and child. So he was sentenced in 2010 and discharged in 2012. And so what happens? But 5 years later, he walks into a small town and church in Texas. And sadly, the actual pastor and his wife were away this weekend. He slaughtered some 20 people inside the church, including their daughter, and some grievously wounded, some 26 people inside the church, and I hadn't been able to follow much, but it seems that he acted alone. He had a single Ruger semi-automatic, knew enough about it to not have it jam. And we are very, very sorry for the folks in Texas, and we send them our thoughts and prayers. And we know from past experience that even the people who survived will have flashbacks and pain and exhaustion. It's one of the reasons why some folks never want to see guns in a house. All right, then. Our calendrical information is, as usual, brought to you by the Perpetual Almanac of Folklore by Charles Kightley. November the 6th, begin threshing corn. Look out for the winter constellation Orion. The wintry and huge constellation Orion begins now to make his appearance in the evening, exhibiting his enormous figure in the east. And that's from Gilbert White's Naturalist Journal of 1781. And from 1729, the knowledge of things unknown, be the stars, when the stars be misty and dark, as though they shine through a mist, though there be no clouds in the element, it is a token of trouble in the air and much rain and snow. November the 7th, attempt the cure of persons acting strangely after Halloween. And this is a remedy from Dr. Lilly's last legacy of 1683, who notes, "A remedy for those bewitched. Take two horseshoes, beat them red hot, and nail one on the threshold of the door, but quench the other in the urine of the party bewitched. Then set the urine over the fire in a pot or pipkin, and put the horseshoe into it. Make the urine boil with a little salt put unto it, and three horseshoe nails until it is almost all consumed. What is not boiled away, cast into the fire. Keep then your horseshoes and nails in a clean paper or cloth, and use the same manner three times. It will be the more effectual if it be done at the change or full of the moon." November the 8th advises complete cider pressing. Make a cider syllabub. "Some, when the press, by utmost vigor screwed, has drained the pulpous mass, regale their swine with the dry refuse. Thou, more wise, shalt steep the husks in water, and again employ the ponderous engine. Water will imbibe the small remains of spirit, and acquire a vinous flavor. Thus the peasants blithe with quaff and whistle, as thy tinkling team they drive." And that's from John Phillips Cider of 1708. If you wish for the recipe for cider syllabub, simply go to our Facebook webpage for Between the Worlds, and we will give it to you. November the 9th. Complete the fattening of pigs for Martinmas slaughter. William Cobbett's of Cottage Economy of 1822 notes, "Make your pig quite fat by all means. The last bushel, even if he sit as he eat, is the most profitable. If he can walk 200 yards at a time, he is not well fatted. Lean bacon is the most wasteful thing that any family can use. The man that cannot live on solid fat bacon wants the sweet sauce of labor or is fit for the hospital." Bacon, bacon, bacon. It's one of the reasons I never was a vegetarian. Bacon, bacon, bacon. Anyway, November the 10th, Martinmas Eve, which is Halloween old style, and thus a second chance to look into the future. The trial of the three dishes as performed in Scotland. Take three dishes, fill one with clean and another with dirty water, and leave one empty. The person making the trial is then blindfolded and led in to feel for a dish with their left hand. If they put their hand into the clean water, their future wife or husband will be a maid or a bachelor. If into the dirty, they will wed a widow or widower. But if into the empty dish, they will never marry. The trial should be repeated three times, changing the arrangement of the dishes between each attempt. Unusually hard weather now presages a mild winter. If Martinmas ice will bear a duck, then look for a winter of slush and muck. But a spell of fine weather, St. Martin's little summer, is more usual now. And what about this St. Martin? Well, November 11th, which is Martinmas, the festival of winter's beginning, of bloodletting and fresh meat, and in this country is acknowledged as Veterans Day. In some other places, it's also called Remembrance Sunday. Saint Martin of Tours, who died in 397, was a young Roman cavalry officer who was moved by charity to divide his cloak with a beggar, subsequently revealed as Christ himself. He is thus the patron of soldiers, beggars, and the oppressed. With grazing now becoming scanty, Martin was the traditional time for slaughtering all cattle, sheep, and pigs, which could not be maintained through the winter. It was therefore an unusual and welcome opportunity for feasting on fresh meat. It is the day of Martinmas. Cups of ale should freely pass. What though winter has begun to push down the summer sun? To our fire we can betake and enjoy the crackling break, never heeding winter's face on the day of Martinmas. Well, Canada had its remembrance festival a little while ago, and this is a the first original song in quite a while from one of Canada's finest artists.
As I stand here at your graveside, the spring birds sing their song. My child, I love you more and more, and will my whole life long.
And that's Lorena McKennett with The Broken Sword. You can get your own copy and find out the story behind this song by going to Lorena's Facebook page. This was just released this past Friday. When she actually performed for Canada's Remembrance, she did Marco Polo's Prayer, but she's an honorary colonel in the Canadian Royal Air Force, and this was a very moving tribute going all the way back to World War I. That she participated in, and she found herself with the makings of a new song and got quite a number of people together for this, including a huge choir, as you can hear. And I think it's only appropriate when we have Veterans Day around the corner for folks who are in the area. I would mention that Fort Devens, which was once known as Camp Devens, has its military museum open on a Saturday from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. If you've never been, it's a great place to go, and it doesn't open all that often. All right, what about those other songs of Robert Plant's that I promised? Well, you're going to hear two more. The first one we heard was New World. This next one is Carving Up the World Again and Bones of Saints.
Scottish and you're a liberal defeatocrat and your idea of a good time is to sit back and shoot crack cocaine into your eyeball while listening to jam band music followed by death metal, followed by hip-hop, followed by polka, followed by some ungodly classical music written by some European, y'all probably listen to WMFO in Medford because of the crack cocaine. Y'all probably enjoy it. So I suggest you mail a check to the trustees of Tufts College, WMFO, Attention, Satan, Post Office Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155.
Peace.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
And we're going out of here with a song from the Commoner's Choir. It's called The Angry Song. Seems sort of